Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, 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 calling all radio amateurs. This is N7IVV, your host tonight for the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association General Technical Services Net. This net is held every Sunday at 8 p.m. local time on this W4VA repeater, which is located in Warrenton, Virginia. The repeater is owned and operated by the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association. And the repeater uses a BL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like more information about this, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for general discussion and Q&A regarding technical subjects of a, well, whatever level people want to discuss regarding topics such as radio hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, et cetera, that's related to the amateur radio art. Announcements are rather sparse tonight. Club meeting was held last Thursday. Coming up, really not much on the calendar except for the last Saturday of the month, which is the informal breakfast get-together. That's on the 27th up at Wegmans at 8:30 a.m. Anybody's welcome to come along and hobnob and do some eyeball cusos there. Next club meeting will be September the 8th, and we'll actually be, probably that will be our, well, there's no probably, that will be our club meeting where we'll be discussing the special event station that we're going to be sponsoring. Most of you have heard about this. It's the Cold War Memorial Foundation Museum in Bent Hill is doing its annual event, and we're going to run a special event station from there commemorating that. That will be October 1st and 2nd. It's Saturday and Sunday. More information, of course, will be coming out as the days progress. We'll have the truck there again to work as a outside station. We'll actually be setting up outside very much like field day, except we'll probably be running from building power. We won't have to use generators, but we'll see how that works out logistically. So we'll be running at least a couple of stations. May also be running from some fixed stations at home QTHs, but that's also to be determined. But I think we're planning on running it all locally there at the museum site in Bent Hill. Am I able to transmit over that noise? Rich, you're probably listening, K1HTV and 7IVV.
Yeah, it's fine, Brad, AK4GG.
I'm sorry, say that again. I had my volume down too low.
Roger, yes, you're coming in loud and clear. The interference is just on the receive input to the repeater, so no problem.
Okay, thanks, John. Appreciate that. That's about all I have for announcements. Anybody else have any announcements they'd like to share with us? This is N7IVB. Go ahead. Okay, let's go ahead and dive into check-ins tonight, and then we'll get around to a couple other things. News item or two, and then we'll chat about some things here. Anybody wishing to check in tonight? I guess let's do mobile stations. Any mobile stations? Go ahead. Any Echolink? Anybody on Echolink? I'll have to wait a little bit longer for you. Go ahead. Okay, stand by. Okay, general check-ins. Please call now.
Kilowatt 3, Foxtrot Romeo.
W4, RKU. RBW.
KO4 NMC.
AK4GG.
WD8QCN in and out.
WB7RAV in and out.
K1HTV.
AK7ATV.
This is Kilo Oscar 4 Whiskey Yankee X-ray in and out.
KN4 SPL in and out.
KO4 VNZ.
Okay, thank you. I've got K3FR, AK4GG, W4RKU. I need the prefix on RPW. I didn't quite get it there. Give me your prefix again, please.
Kilo Oscar 4 Romeo Bravo Whiskey.
Here we go. That's better. Okay. KO4NMC, Alan, good evening. WDAQCN, WB7RAV, thanks for stopping by. K1HTV, KJ7APV, KO4WIX, KN4SPL, thanks also for stopping by. And then Chuck. Chuck, you said you were in and out, right?
Well, actually, I had something to say today. Over.
Okay, that's why I didn't check you that way. And then David, KO4RBW. Okay, any other check-ins? Go ahead. Okay, very good. Well, let's see. I get, one interesting thing tonight as far as a news item, if you will. This is a really important announcement that came out on the AWRL letter Thursday. The Hancock Oxcom team in Winchester, West Virginia, is again hosting the annual Teapot Day special event station using the call signs. And get this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 call signs. W1 Tango, Kilo 2 Tango, W3 Tango, W4 Tango, W5 Tango, W6 Tango, W7 Tango, W8 Tango, W9 Tango, W0 Tango, and Whiskey Victor 8 Hotel Alpha Tango. The event is currently in operation through August 14th. You have a few more hours to celebrate it. And it celebrates the world's largest teapot. Before finding its home in Chester, which was once known as the pottery capital of the world, the giant teapot started out as a root beer stand and then became a clubhouse for a miniature golf course in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. It was moved to Chester in 1938 and served as a roadside attraction for a local pottery company. The Teapot Day special event station has been held for 6 years. Operators will be eligible for a certificate by contacting one or all stations. The event also includes endorsements for the bonus stations and a clean sweep. More information is available at the Hancock Oxcom team website. And there's a link, of course, on that. And I don't have it here. Use the AWRL special event stations listing to find other on-air events. Well, obviously, we'll have a listing on there for our Cold War museum activity coming up here soon. So anyway, something a little interesting for you if you've got some time left tonight to work them. As far as a topic for tonight, I'm not going to claim any great knowledge, but I'm going to mention it anyway because it was my first experience doing it. But a contest, actually, or one or two contests, actually, with the Meteor Scatter this weekend. I think it's probably just ended. I don't have the page up right for the moment to see when it ended. But anyway, the point is the Perseid Meteor Shower, the annual meteor shower, took place, or it's sort of still, I think it's pretty much petered out and done now. Anyway, so that gave folks an opportunity to work Meteor Scatter. And the contest itself ended at 14:59 Zulu today, so it's over and done with. But I found it very interesting as a first-timer, and using just regular plain old equipment that pretty much I think all of us have got. Well, no, I guess I shouldn't say that. Technicians and whatnot who are just getting started may not have a rig that's capable of doing 50 megahertz or 6 meters. A home rig, because it's on single sideband, and a 6-meter antenna, I was able to work some stations using Meteor Scatter. Now, for those of you who may not be familiar with how Meteor Scatter works, when a meteor passes into the atmosphere, it's traveling, I don't know how fast, 15,000 plus miles per hour when it hits the atmosphere of the Earth. And as we all know, There's a lot of friction created by the air, as thin as it is up that high, but there is, it's there. And that's why, of course, our spacecraft re-entering the atmosphere that we want to save have always had some sort of heat shields or tiles on the space shuttle or what have you. Meteors are anywhere from grains of sand size on up. I suppose they're meteorites when they're below a certain size, and those are the ones we're usually looking at, literally, when we see them. And they blaze into life in that little flash of light that streaks across the sky as they literally burn up in the atmosphere. Well, that blazing trail also creates a little path of ionization, which lingers in the atmosphere for a while. It's probably longer than the visible trail that we can see. And of course, there's many more during a storm, a meteor shower, than we normally will see, because they're all over the sky. And of course, there's a lot, plenty coming in during the day as well. I believe that they generally are more common when the Earth is facing into the path. When we are facing with the bow into the water, if you will. We orbit, if you're looking down at the solar system, we orbit counterclockwise, so when our location is pointing towards the orbital path, that's when you usually will get the most meteors. I read someplace here just recently that as far as operational for radio stuff, that usually occurs between 2 hours before and 2 hours after sunrise. That may or may not be quite accurate. But anyway, the point is, as that meteor comes streaking through the atmosphere, it leaves that little ionized trail. And as we all know, we love ionized trails, whether they happen to exist all around the Earth and linger all day, or whether they're just short-lived like this. Well, that ionized trail will reflect radio waves, just like the ionosphere around the Earth. And you can work radio stations that are also on the same frequency and doing the same thing. And it lasts longer than the visible trail. I don't know exactly how long. Of course, a lot of it depends on how large the meteor is as it comes through, but anywhere from a few seconds to even as much as a minute or two or three that this trail will linger. Well, anyway, the equipment that I used was simply my desktop HF rig. Actually, it's my all-mode satellite rig, but the point is, using a machine that's capable of 50 megahertz sideband, single sideband, and running WSJTX in the MSK-144 mode at 50.260 megahertz, which is, I guess, the national calling frequency for that, and my plain old multiband vertical, which goes from 40 to 6 meters, I was able to make 8 contacts or so using meteor scatter, and it was like really, really cool. And this is N7IVV for the FARA Technical Services Net tonight. As far as actually how I did it, I'm sure there was a better way. Rich, I'm sure, will fill us in on some of the finer points of working meteor scatter, and especially in a contest. But I found that just flipping WJTX on without even using the contest mode, just plain old straight setup, and going, first of all, setting the mode to MSK-144 and then going to 6 meters, the 50.260, it did whatever it needed to. Obviously it sets that frequency. And then started transmitting. Well, mostly I was listening at first, and a lot of what I think I did mostly is I just sort of let it run, and then all of a sudden I started seeing some stuff that was unusual. First of all, the waterfall is kind of unusual. You'll get used to that as you see it, but turning the volume up, you heard this buzzing sound, very much like this silly interference we're getting on the repeater right now. And that was a signal coming in from another station. And then, of course, WSJTX decoded that. And I was able to then select that station and transmit back. And and made a contact. And it's very, very similar to FT8. It's obviously a different mode, and it's, I don't know the technicalities behind how it's actually doing it, but the point is, it's, you know, a 15-second transmit, 15 seconds receive, if you're transmitting. But anyway, I think Illinois was my first one, and Wisconsin, and where I worked, Arkansas, and I guess I can pull my log up and let you know. Nova Scotia, New Hampshire, Alabama, and Culpeper. Culpeper, I'm sure, was a local contact. That was not a meteor scatter. And that's what I did. So that was really, really cool. So any of you should be able to do that with a very simple setup. Obviously, those people who are into it more will use beams, rotatable beams, and, you know, can throw it around. But my point being, I had success with just a straight vertical and just a regular radio. I was only getting about 50 watts up to my antenna, so I was certainly not running power. And I could not work everybody that I could hear, but I worked a lot of them. So anyway, that's my technical discussion for tonight. And if anybody else has had a similar experience this week or this weekend, by all means share it. Otherwise, we'll chat about what you have been up to technically with your radios this weekend. So with that, we'll turn it over to K3FR. Ron, go ahead.
Well, good evening. That's 7IVV in the group, K3FR. Well, I think you did a fairly good job of explaining it Brad, and what's happening with meteor scatter. Yes, of course, this was the first, I think, contest focused on meteor scatter. I have done meteor scatter on 6 meters before, actually also on 2 meters. Worked up to Nova Scotia on 2 meters, and have worked out to Missouri, and I can't remember the other places on 6 meters, but it's actually fairly exhilarating when you hear that that buzz come back, particularly if it decodes with your call sign on it. Very, very interesting. And this is with my even indoor Moxon at 12, 15 feet off the cement, and inside of a condominium, and when I point to the northeast, I get so much noise from the local power supply, grid, that it's not very usable at times. But it's an enjoyable way to do it. I'm still having better success on FT8 6 meters than I am with the meteor scatter. It runs a little bit faster, and also the Q65 mode, which works fairly similar. By the way, if you want to watch people setting up schedules during the normal weekday, during that time from before sunrise to shortly after sunrise, Google Ping Jockey Central .chat, their chat rather, and there is a website there that you can just sit and read the mail, and there's a similar one for Q65 and the slower modes. That would be Splat 65 would be the Google spot on that. So, me, since all middle of the week, I've started working on a new little project here. I'm going to put together a small 2-meter Moxon. Moxons are going to be small for 2 meters for transmitter hunting, to see how well that does, and to give us a point of comparison for Matt's null antenna in the next transmitter hunt. That and also been playing around listening on 6 meters, working 6 meters, picked up a couple of new grids, and six is still alive. It's not letting, it's just not kicking, being kicked over. So, that's me. And 7IVV, K3FR.
Okay, Ron, thanks. Is your, you probably said it, and you've said it before, and I don't remember. Is your 6-meter Moxon in the attic rotatable, or is it fixed?
It's actually in the loft area of the second floor, and it is rotatable, Armstrong method, but matter of fact, that's actually fairly advantageous because it comes around very quickly, and so an IVV K3FR.
Okay, good. Well, I know that, you know, I've never seen it, even though I've been to his house. Either it wasn't up, or I probably just wasn't paying attention. But K4SO, Mark has got a, I think he's got a 6-meter dipole beam. Mounted actually up in the trees. He's got a lot of trees around his place, and he actually just has it suspended. And apparently, he can rotate it even so. So that's one way of doing it. I don't know. The more stuff that's going on with 6 meters, the more I'm tempted to go ahead and pull the trigger and buy because I just don't feel like making stuff right now. Maybe I'll make one, but a 6-meter directional antenna and put it up on my little tower in the back of the house there. Anyway, it's I may have to look into that. And I see that 6 meters is actually active right now on FT8. So, let's see, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Canada. So, if anybody wants to do that while they're sitting around waiting for me to stop talking, that's something for you to do. And this is N7IVV. John, AK4GG, go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, Brad, and the rest of the group. Thanks for taking the net, Brad. Yeah, I think that you should go ahead and build yourself a little antenna there. Buy it, build it. It's a lot more fun. Not much to report. I was just doing yard work this weekend, so not too much to report on that side of it. So I took over from Bruce Crandall, GDX, KN4GDX, for the event coordinator for the Vintel arrangement, and I think I've got some replies from Ron and Chuck as far as operating during that weekend. I think it's going to be pretty relaxed, no competition or anything, so I was thinking 8 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock at night would be pretty good. Thanks very much, Brad, for providing the juice. That'd be good, and I'll probably ping Nick to see if he can, if he wants to bring their 4-H trailer in. But, yeah, so that's where we're up to now. I'll probably do a presentation in September, just a brief one, on where we're up to with that special event. Okay, so nothing else to report. Thanks very much, and back to the group. N7IVV, AK4GG.
Okay, thanks, John. Yeah, I feel a little bit bad, but not very, that you will be on the hot seat 2 months in a row. Because of your excellent presentation that you did the day before yesterday, or it was Thursday, I mean, and then also needing to do something for us this coming month regarding the special event station. Trying to think, perhaps there's, oh, I don't know, I'm sure that there might be something we can kind of add to that to take some of the burden off you that might still be related to doing that, but it's really kind of almost more like a field day exercise, but anyway. 74RKU, Kevin, what's up to you? Go ahead.
N7IVV, W4RKU in the net. Good evening, Brad. Thanks for doing the net, especially at the last minute. You were talking about meteor scatter there at the beginning, and you gave me a heads up about it, and I tried it, and I didn't get anybody, but that's okay. And that's with my directional antenna, so maybe what you got is just good enough for getting it done. And then since the rest, I tried the Workdoll Entity CW contest yesterday, and it really seems to be more geared to Europe, and you get bonus points for sending ETC codes or whatever they are. I mean, I know what they are, but trying to set up the macros, it was a last-minute idea, and I really didn't have time to think about it. But I did finish up and built my own tape measure antenna for the next field day. I mean, Fox Hunt, because using the Arrow one was just too ungangly. It was difficult to use. And so this one will be easier to use. So I purpose-built it. Let's see. I think that's all I got to say for right now. I'll turn it back over to you. N7IVV, W4RKU, back to that.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I'm assuming that what you mean when you say easier to use is that it's simply because you don't have as many... Well, the elements are made out of tape measures, and you can flop it around, and instead of having that fixed Yagi that you gotta hold on to. And of course, with an Arrow antenna, you can take the 440 elements off and just use the 2 meter side. But yeah, the tape measure antenna is a really, really great idea that somebody came up with a long time ago, and works really well, especially if you're out in the field. Some of these people do. Oh, gosh, I don't know what the right term is, but, you know, they go cross-country doing these fox hunts. And having floppy elements is good because you can go crashing through the brush. But even with a car, you can just sort of chuck it in the trunk and not have to worry about whether you get your antennas elements straight. Anyway, KO4NMC, Alan, and for everybody that was at the... at the meeting Thursday night, and if you weren't, then this is news for you, but Alan has accepted and we have approved his position as the new chairman of the repeater committee, and again, I want to thank him. That will be a super great help to be able to kind of get that organized and moving and just have a main POC there for everything to... because everybody's got their own functions there on the repeater committee. So, anyway, over to you, Alan, KO4NMC and 7IVV.
Hey, good evening, Brad and 7IVV and the net. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to getting set up with a number of folks who reached out to me since the meeting on Thursday to discuss the repeater committee business. So it's exciting. If you haven't heard back from me, it's coming. I got a little snowed this weekend with just maintenance things and some other things have been on the back burner, but like a lot of others, I've been busy with a number of things. I have had some time to brush off a couple of SDR units that I played with in the past that I got set up again, attached to a disc cone antenna in the attic space that I'm kind of having fun again playing around and using a very powerful scanner. Like others, I went from a commercial antenna that I intended to use for the fox hunt to building something that's a little more the field serviceable and a little bit more appropriate for kind of field use. And so going back to the tape design, I have two different designs that I'm building and kind of excited about getting that out in September when we do the fox hunt to try that out. The only other thing that I would add is that I wanted to kind of say one more time what a fantastic presentation AK4GG did last Thursday. It was really a lot of fun and kind of set the bar pretty high for presenters, but would also say that, you know, there are a number of people in the club. One of the reasons I like coming to these club events is people come to this with varied backgrounds and a lot of experiences that are fun to share, so kind of put that out there as a plug for others to join in, but thanks again, John, for presenting. That was really fantastic and very informative. With that, I'll turn it back over, Brad, to the net. This is KO4NMC.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. All right. I guess that takes us down to K1HTV. Rich, how was your weekend? I know you weren't able to work too much satellite. Or, I'm sorry, I keep doing that meteor scatter yesterday, but how was your day today? Go ahead.
Very good, and 7IBV from K1HTV. Very good. Had some fun with the meteors. Did a little meteor scatter on Friday and was able to work 14 stations. Was it 14 or a dozen or so on Friday? It was after that, after making those contacts on meteor scatter on 6 meters, the 6 meter band opened up to Europe for about 2 hours. And then later in the afternoon, it opened up for another couple hours to Europe. And when, by the time the day was over, when Saturday was over, or Friday was over, the 12th, I had worked 52 DX stations on 6 meters. Just very surprising that we had so much good E-scape. I think it was enhanced by the meteor burnouts, which is not unusual, because they both occur at the same level, that E layer. The burnout for meteors is at the same sporadic E level, up, 60 kilometers or so. But it was a fun day on Friday. Saturday, only made a handful of meteor scatter contacts. I was busy. Had a busy day over at St. John's, and some had a mow in the afternoon, mow the grass, and kind of exhausted by evening. Had to get to sleep early to get up early for Sunday Mass. But after Sunday, got home from church and made another 14 contacts this morning. So on meteor scatter after getting home around 9 o'clock or so. So it was a fun day for meteors, and as Ron was saying, 6 is not dead yet. There's still E-skip occurring. So my first meteor activity was back in the 60s, the early 60s, on CW, and then eventually sideband. And back then on CW, we used to have a tape loop, an endless tape loop on a tape machine with a reel holding it down for weight as it passed the head and went through the capstan, and that. And on that tape was Morse code for the call sign, or the CQ with a call sign after it. So, and it would go on for 15 seconds at a mechanical timer, which would key that audio on and off, which keyed a relay and keyed the radio. Really crude. Every 15 seconds it would go on, and then in 15 seconds it would be off, and we had 15-second sequencing, and that was all done on using a tape, and tried to do it at a high speed also. So but it was a lot different than it is now with the MSK-144 meteor software, being able to decode the burst. The bursts can be decoded as short as tens of milliseconds. You can actually get a full decode. Maybe 10 plus milliseconds. That's how fast the meteors are burning. That's how fast the software works. So you can decode call signs and grid in a very short burst that you may not even hear. I think what else I can say about meteors, other than it's fun to play to bounce things off the meteors. Surprised that Kevin didn't hear anything there. If you're on at the right time and on the right frequency, 50.260, even with a dipole or a vertical, as Brad found out, you'll hear plenty of meteors. It's got to be there at the right time. The question is, you know, when do you work certain areas? There's a piece of software called Virgo, VIRGO.exe, VIRGO.exe. It's by DL1, Delta Bravo Charlie. You can download that. It's free. And it'll tell you, for each meteor shower, what the direction of the meteors are coming, the meteors are radiant is each time of the day, throughout the day, and what's the best place to aim your beam throughout the day. In the case of the Perseid meteor shower, which never sets, it does have nulls around late afternoon, but in the late evening around 10, 11, 12 o'clock, the better signals will be coming from the northeast, northwest, or it's Minnesota and the Dakotas, and as the evening progresses, the meteor shower burnouts are more north-south, so they favor east-west propagation. And as you get into dawn, the southeast, southwest to northeast are favored, and then as you get later in the morning, the meteors are basically basically traveling east to west, and the best paths are north and south towards Florida, down the in the southern part of the country. So, if you want to look at get graphically how what's the best time to work meteors at certain directions, download Virgo.exe. That's about it for meteors. If you have any other questions, I can probably have a few answers regarding meteor showers. Back to Net Control, K1HTV.
Okay, so looking at that sky map, the radar thing there, I've got it so that east is on the left, west is on the right, and it shows the PER for Perseus with the little magenta dot kind of at 30 degrees up there, but then also the compass rose apparently is... That's where I got a little confused, but I, if nothing else, I guess that little magenta dot is where I should be aiming the antenna. Is that right?
Look at the compass rose. The compass rose for that color, for the Perseid meteor shower, I'm not sure what color they use, but you can set it to either, there's two options, either beam heading or radian. Set it to beam heading or the direction. And that is the direction the media that you'll be that is favored. For instance, if you look say your clock, it happens to be evening, which it is now, you'll notice that probably the best signals will be coming either from the northwest or southeast. So the line will go northeast, southwest, northwest, southeast, and that's where you probably want to aim your beam from now till midnight or so. You see that on the compass rose, over?
Okay, yeah, now I see it. I hadn't refreshed it from earlier today. So, yeah, it's showing that it looks like I should, it's like west-northwest to east-southeast, basically. So, all right, good. Yeah, it's an interesting program, and once you figure out which line's doing what, it's kind of handy. Are you finished, Rich?
One more comment. The meteor shower, the Perseid meteor shower, which we're seeing now, will last quite a bit longer. So if you happen to be on either pingjockey.com or ON4KSD Reflector, you'll see guys still setting up schedules for the Perseid meteor shower. Just park your receiver on 14260, set it to the MSK144 mode, and just walk away from it. Come back an hour or two later, don't be surprised if you have bursts of from stations, even with a small antenna. If you miss this meteor shower, the next major one is the Orionids in October, the Leonids in November, the Geminids in December, and the Quadrantids in January. The Leonids are a fascinating shower. I remember hitting a super peak back in 1960-something, back in the 60s. Happened at maybe 65, there were 400 to 500 meteors per hour. No, and then in the southwest where it peaked, it was hundreds of meteors per minute. It was an incredible opening. It seemed like a continuous Eastkip opening to the 1,000-mile range for that particular shower. It just happened to be peaking those years, and then since then, the Leonids have been sort of mediocre, but they're very high altitude, very fast burnouts. So, and very interesting to see visually if you could, if you're outside and have a nice dark sky. So those are the upcoming meteor showers in the months to come. And 7IVV, K1HTV.
All right, very good, thanks. Yeah, when they get that heavy, I'd much rather go outside and watch them than to work them on the radio, quite honestly. But that was before I knew how to work them on the radio, but I guess you can kind of do both. Of course, with the full moon, that doesn't help stargazers that want to go out and watch, with the exception of the very brightest ones. But celestial events are always fascinating to me, whether it's meteors or aurora or, frankly, just the majesty of the night sky on a good dark night. So, but I'm always amazed at radio things and you know, how in the world somebody figured out that they could actually use a meteor trail to bounce a radio signal off of is just amazing to me. KJ7APV, Becca, what you up to tonight? Go ahead.
N7IVV, KJ7APV. Really interesting topic, thanks. You remind me of my dad. He used to take us out when I was a toddler, even not much more than 5 years old. I'm sure I was younger. We look at the night sky and point out where the satellites were going by. And we always try to keep in mind the dates of the meteor showers. And then later on, he got his PAM license after I grew up. So anyway, a topic for discussion maybe next time or sometime in that coming up might be logging. I had a nice long conversation with Rich, K1HTV, who was helping me get together my stepping up from the HT into a portable station. So we had a bunch of topics to talk about, and logging came up. So I thought it'd be interesting to find out what other people thought about logging. Just being, you know, growing up near my dad, who was a rocket scientist, fuel chemist, he taught me a lot of stuff about being, you know, aware of it. But logging has always been important to me, and I, in some ways, like the paper log. But Rich convinced me of the benefits of the electronic log, so it'd just be interesting to have a discussion about that. So I think that's about it. Thanks again for the interesting topic and for running the net. Back to you and 7IVV. This is KJ7ACG 73, y'all.
Okay, Becca, thanks for that. Yeah, that's computers have made our lives interesting over the years. And I say that because it's like almost anything, there's always the two sides of the coin as to whether it was better or worse. It all depends on how you use it. Anyway, KO4VNZ, Chuck, go ahead.
This is KO4VNZ. Thank you for taking the net tonight. You're doing a great job again. And I have to go along with everyone else to say how great I enjoyed our last meeting, and the presentation on radar. That was spectacular. For myself, I haven't been doing all that much, other than that my wife gave me a couple pieces of measuring tape that she had left over from some sewing project. And so I ran out and got some PVC, and I just put together Saturday a fox hunt measuring tape Gaudi. The only thing I need now is I gotta get a foot or two, a couple feet of RG58 and a connector, and I'll be ready to go with the antenna, and I'm going to order a kit to put together a attenuator. That's about it for me, so I'll turn it back to the net. This is KO4VN, Zed Clear.
All right, very good. Well, we'll look forward to seeing the results of your project next month when we do the Fox Hunt. KO4RBW, David, thanks for your patience since you checked in earlier, but put you at the bottom of the list here. I apologize. Go ahead.
Hey, it's all good, Brad. This is KO4RBW. Appreciate all of the information on the meteor skip, because that is definitely on the wish list. So hearing the information from you and from Rich on how to get this done, it's definitely an interesting piece to me. Also on the bucket list is a moon bounce transmission, so I'm looking into that one as well. But other than that, I regretfully wasn't able to make the meeting this month. I had to drive a rig in the Brandy Station parade, but I hear it was a great meeting, so I'll definitely do my best to be there next month. And then only the other thing is collected 12 frames of honey this weekend, so I'm going to have some good bottling and good time extracting all the honey. So this is KO4RBW, back to net.
Well, all right, very good. And good luck, not good luck, but good job on the honey, or whatever the right thing to say is there. I helped unload a semi-truck load of beehives many, many, many years ago, and that was an interesting experience. The thing that I was so tickled about this weekend was how easy the satellite the meteor scatter was to work. I don't know what problems Kevin was having there, but obviously come up the next time around, next month, I guess, those of us that are new to it should do something to kind of make sure that everything is working the way we expect it to before that, just to see if there's something minor that we need to tweak. So, all right, that takes us to the end of our list tonight. Anybody wanting to check in still at the end of the hour here, or any rechecks, go ahead.
UACC. K3FR, recheck. KS1, PPY, in and out.
Okay, WABT, Travis, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, Brad, and all in the net. Brad, thanks for doing the net. And I want to say I really enjoyed John's presentation. And David, if you didn't see it, I think I saw an email that Kevin has posted that on the website, so you can watch it there, I guess. I didn't really do too much. I did actually listen to a little bit of MSK 144 on 6 meters. I copied a few stations, mostly Rich, calling CQ, but that wasn't from the meteor. But anyway, and I wanted to say it was interesting about the teapot special event. I haven't got on to see if I can see him anywhere, but I know that my mom, when she was a teenager, worked at the large coffee pot up in Bedford, Pennsylvania. I don't know if they have any special events or not. Anyway, that's about it from here. WABT, back to net.
Okay, Travis, well, thanks for checking in. Sippy, thanks for checking in. Drive careful. I'm assuming you're mobile. Maybe you're not. Anyway, good checking in, hearing from you tonight. And Ron, your recheck. Go ahead, KE3FR and 7IVB.
Okay, M7IVB, K3FR. Just to add a little bit more interest to the meteor scatter thing, Victor Papa 9, November Oscar on Bermuda, FM 72. He likes to work 10-meter meteor scatter, and he uses the JT9G, submode G, mode of WSJTX, and that runs fast and 15-second frames, which is the same timing as MSK 144 that most people use. And let's see, his frequency that he sits on is 28145, and it's got an interesting sound to it, the JT9. That's 7IVB, K3FR.
Okay, Ron, well, thanks for that tidbit. I guess next month when the next meteor shower comes around, we'll have to remember that, too, just to go down and listen. Well, can work it, too. 10 meters, I've got a beam for that, so that might be interesting to try. All right, folks, thanks all for checking in tonight. It's been fun. We'll have to do it again sometime. Let's see, who's got, I guess, Ron, you've got the net coming up this coming Wednesday, so we'll look forward to hearing from you then. And with that, stand by. And this has been the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association Technical Services Net, which is held every Sunday at 8 p.m. local time on this repeater, of course. And if anybody has any questions or comments or whatever, they can send an email to us at farahnet@w4va.org. And so with that, I'll bring the net to a close, return the repeater to normal operation. Have a pleasant evening and a good tomorrow.